Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 724, Wiki of the Damned. This program is being recorded on September 5th of the year 2010. The title of the program is something of a dovetailing of WikiLeaks, which is an online document leaking organization, which has received quite a bit of publicity, most recently in connection with the leaking of information about Afghanistan and U.S. military involvement in operations there. They achieved quite a bit of publicity in connection with the leaking of an actual military video from an Apache gunship of a friendly fire incident in which, among other things, a couple of Reuters journalists were killed in an attack by an Apache gunship. And WikiLeaks, again, has received a fair amount of publicity in connection with these things. And looking at the organization itself, felt from the beginning there's probably more to it than has met the eye. The other part of the title, Wiki of the Damned, refers to a couple of science fiction movies that, actually, I can't remember whether it was late 50s or early 60s, but it was somewhere in there. One of them was called Village of the Damned, and the other was called Children of the Damned. And it was about this village where a bunch of kids were born, and all the children had very, very white platinum hair and all very strange, solemn appearance. They were all very, very intelligent and hooked up with one another, and they had psychic powers, and they could do all kinds of horrendous things, and did all kinds of horrendous things, including killing people. And that's what the title refers to, WikiLeaks, and those two movies, Children of the Damned and Village of the Damned. The reason that came to mind is that in examining WikiLeaks, the patron of WikiLeaks, the main guy's a guy named Julian Assange, and from the beginning, just looking at him, he looked strange to me, and that's something a lot of other people have remarked as well, that he just has sort of a strange appearance. Of particular note is his hair color. It's not altogether remarkable in the post-punk period, but it's very, very white, and at times looks like it was platinum blonde, peroxide blonde. The reason I bring that up is that in the movies, all of the Children of the Damned, in the Village of the Damned, all had that very weird light blonde hair. And in the background of Julian Assange is a very powerful and sinister and apparently intelligence-connected mind control cult. According to the official version, his connections with this are only very tangential. His mother had a child by a member of the cult, and there then ensued, according to the record as relayed by Assange, a period in which his mother was trying to get away from this musician who was a member of the cult and by whom she had had a child. That cult is called Santikineten. I may be mispronouncing that. Santikineten. It's also called The Family, not to be confused with the Christian right-wing organization called The Family that we dealt with in For the Record 697, nor the Children of God family that was publicized in a movie with River Phoenix. Rather, this is a different group. Again, their formal title is the Santikineten Park Association, and the head guru, head figure, is a woman named Anne Hamilton Byrne. And one of the features of this cult, and we're going to talk about the cult, is that all of the children that are incorporated into the cult and are told that they are the biological spawn of Anne Hamilton Byrne all have their hair dyed in this identical peroxide or platinum blonde fashion. Beyond that, one of the features of the cult is that different children are basically given a documentary database that confuses one child with another. In other words, the children have multiple documentation databases and multiple identities, and the children are specifically groomed and raised in such a way as to be interchangeable and to assume the identities of other children. The mind control to which these people are subjected is very powerful, involves the use of drugs, including LSD, very powerful antidepressant drugs. And according to the accounts of this particular cult, even after people have left the cult, broken with it, informed on it, and even after some of their information has led to the arrests of cult members, they still remain very drawn to the cult, and some even afterward, some of these apostates have made up with Ann Hamilton Byrne, and even the ones that didn't have stated they felt very, many of the ones anyway, have stated they felt very drawn to her and very conflicted about having turned on her. The point being that what this cult is all about is mind control, and it is obviously very powerfully connected. It appears to be an intelligence front of some kind. It was based in Australia. It may have, may very well be some sort of British intelligence / Australian intelligence variant of the MK Ultra programs, one of the CIA's mind control programs. There certainly are apparent links between this organization and the intelligence community. One of the people whose names crops up in connection with the investigation is a British minister who was in charge, or to whom the Australian Intelligence Service reported. He supposedly, according to the accounts that are given here, he received medical treatment from the cult after an automobile accident. Seems strange, but the point being that there is obviously a whole lot more to this cult than meets the eye. And after weighing the WikiLeaks story and studying a number of images of Julian Assange, I came to the conclusion that he is actually part of this organization. It should be stated that when one is dealing with mind control, you're dealing with a phenomenon that was meant to circumvent and even subvert the human consciousness and the human conscience. It may very well be, even though Assange himself downplays his connections to the cult and has bad things to say about it, he may very well be 100% sincere, but mind control can create a situation where a person is ostensibly opposed to something and yet actually is allied with it, and the connections can be completely obliterated from the person's memory or consciousness. It's one of the reasons that is the main reason why mind control was developed, was for the imposition of totalitarianism, for the successful execution of wrongdoing in spite of and with the subversion of the human conscience. We're going to take a look at Wikipedia and some of the aspects of its operations. It also has a very interesting worldview, at least as expressed by Julian Assange. It almost seems sort of a third position, Earth Island oriented political philosophy or outlook that we'll get into a little later. But I want to stress this program is one of those that is highly speculative in nature, and after considerable hemming and hawing, frankly, because I wasn't sure if I should stress the mind control cult aspect as strongly as I'm going to, but after a considerable reflection, I suspect that the connections between this cult and Julian Assange are much greater than we have been told, and indeed they may be much greater than Mr. Assange himself is consciously aware of. Again, that's one of the things so insidious about mind control. But we're going to go into WikiLeaks. This will certainly not be the only program I do about this. This is a subject we're going to come back to. But in an article about WikiLeaks by Rafi Khachaturian from The New Yorker of June 7th of 2010, this is an article called No Secrets. We find this little bit of biography, and this is the only reference that I have seen to Assange's connections with the cult. And again, when I print the description to the program, you'll see numerous images of Assange and also the pictures of these poor kids who have been raised in this cult. And man, it is a very strange thing. I feel genuinely sorry for the individuals that are part of this, including Mr. Assange, if indeed he appears to be what he appears to be, which is a member of the cult, not just somebody who had a tangential brush with it. But at the same time, the potential implications here are very sinister indeed. From the New York article of June 7th, when Assange was 8, Claire, that's his mother, left her husband and began seeing a musician with whom she had another child, a boy. The relationship was tempestuous and the musician became abusive, she says. They separated. A fight ensued over the custody of Assange's half-brother, and Claire felt threatened, fearing that the musician would take away her son. Assange recalled her saying, "Now we need to disappear," and he lived on the run with her from age 11 to 16. When I asked him about the experience, he told me that there was evidence that the man belonged to a powerful cult called the Family. Its motto was, "Unseen, unknown, and unheard," unquote. Some members were doctors who persuaded mothers to give up their newborn children to the cult's leader, Anne Hamilton Byrne. The cult had moles in government, Assange suspected, who provided the musician with leads on Claire's whereabouts. In fact, Claire often told friends where she had gone or hid in places where she had lived before. I would note, if in fact Julian Assange himself was under mind control, he might actually have been helping to keep the cult aware of his mother's movements and been completely unaware that he was doing this. Also, if in fact Assange, as I suspect, was actually a part of this cult, and if he was slated for future use, and if he needed his association with them needed to be diminished or sheep-dipped, this would make a good cover story in case someone ever noted his tangential position vis-a-vis the cult. A brief summary of the Senaketan Park Association cult of Anne Hamilton Byrne, and I may be mispronouncing that, was presented in the Wikipedia entry. Wikipedia is something that needs to be used very, very carefully. A lot of the political stuff in Wikipedia is badly skewed, but if the links check out, and in this case they do, it usually is fairly decent. In this case, I think Wikipedia did a good job, but Wikipedia has to be used very, very carefully. And by way of providing a brief summation of the Senaketan Park Association, around 1964, Dr. Rainer Johnson was holding regular meetings of a religious and philosophical discussion group led by Anne Hamilton Byrne at Senaketan, his home at Fernie Creek in the Dandenong Ranges on the eastern outskirts of Melbourne, Australia. Also connected was a series of weekly talks he gave at the Council of Adult Education in Melbourne entitled "The Macrocosm and the Microcosm." The group purchased an adjoining property, which they named Senaketan Park in 1968, and constructed a meeting hall, Senaketan Lodge. The association consisted of middle-class professional people. It has been estimated that a quarter were nurses and other medical personnel, and that many were recruited by Johnson, who referred them to Hamilton Byrne's Hatha Yoga classes. Members mainly lived in nearby suburbs and townships in the Dandenongs, meeting each Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday evening at Senaketan Lodge, Crowther House in Olinda, or another property in the area known as the White Lodge. During the 1960s and 1970s, New Haven Hospital in Kew was a private psychiatric hospital owned and managed by Marion Villamek, a Senaketan member. Many of its staff and attending psychiatrists were also members of the cult. Many patients at New Haven were treated with a hallucinogenic drug, LSD. The hospital was used to recruit potential new members from among the patients and also to administer LSD to members under the direction of the Senaketan psychiatrist, Drs. John McKay and Howard Whitaker. One of the original members of the association was given LSD, electroconvulsive therapy, and two leucotomies during the late 1960s. Although the psychiatric hospital had been closed down by 1992, in that year, a new inquest was ordered into the death of a New Haven patient in 1975 after new claims that his death may have been due to deep sleep therapy. The inquest heard evidence concerning the use of electroconvulsive therapy, LSD, and other practices at New Haven, but found no evidence that deep sleep had been used on this patient. The New Haven building was later reopened as a nursing home with no connections to its previous owner or uses. Ann Hamilton Byrne acquired 14 infants and young children between 1968 and 1975. Some were the natural children of Saniketan members. Others had been obtained through irregular adoptions arranged by lawyers, doctors, and social workers within the group who could bypass the normal processes. The children's identities, and this is very important in considering Julian Assange and the possibility that he may have been sort of mind control sheep-dipped, to coin a term, the children's identities were changed using false birth certificates or deed poll, all being given the surname Hamilton Byrne and dressed alike, even to the extent of their hair being dyed uniformly blonde. The children were kept in seclusion and homeschooled at Kialama, a rural property usually referred to as Up Top, at Taylor Bay on Lake Eildon near the town of Eildon, Victoria. They were taught that Ann Hamilton Byrne was their biological mother and knew the other adults in the group as aunties and uncles, unquote. They were denied almost all access to the outside world and subjected to a discipline that included frequent corporal punishment and starvation diets. The children were frequently dosed with the psychiatric drugs anitensol, diazepam, haloperidol, largacil, mogadon, serapac, stelazine, tegretol, or tofranil. And by the way, I may be mispronouncing some of these. Continuing, on reaching adolescence, they were compelled to undergo an initiation involving LSD. While under the influence of the drug, the child would be left in a dark room alone, apart from visits by Hamilton Byrne or one of the psychiatrists from the group. And again, sexual molestation and many things that one finds in connection with the administration of formal mind control programs are to be found within this cult's practices. AFA programs 5, 6, and 7 go into the intelligence community's mind control programs and will provide people with some background. AFA number 7 is about cults. From the from the Australian Herald Sun of Victoria, we find this article, one of the many stories about the Saniketan cult. The leader of Australia's most notorious cult, the family, remains unrepentant 2 decades after the raid that shocked the nation. Ann Hamilton Byrne broke her silence yesterday, saying she was ready to die after reconciling with Sarah Moore, the daughter who betrayed her to the authorities. The family made headlines around the world in 1987 when the Australian Federal Police and Community Services Victoria raided the cult's property at Lake Eildon and took 6 children into care. Police later found 14 children had been brought up in almost complete isolation, believing they were the offspring of Hamilton Byrne and her late husband, Bill. In fact, none of them was the Hamilton Byrnes, but children of single mothers who had been pressured into giving them up for adoption, or cult members who did not want them. But it was the way the children had been treated that really shocked the nation. Hamilton Byrne had ordered the children's hair be dyed peroxide blonde and that they be dressed in identical outfits. It was also alleged that they had been half-starved, beaten, and forced to take large quantities of tranquilizers to calm them down, unquote, and even fed LSD when they became adults. And still more from an Australia Herald Sun article from August 16th of 2009. And by the way, all of the annotations for this will be in the description for the record program 724. And so this from Australia Herald Sun article of August 16th of 2009 by James Campbell. Lex DeMann, the policeman who spent 5 years bringing the family cult leader Ann Hamilton Byrne to justice, is still haunted by the case and its toll on everyone involved. And while proud that Operation Forest, the task force on which he worked from 1989 to 94, eventually secured her conviction for perjury, he is still angry that Hamilton Byrne escaped punishment for alleged maltreatment of the children in her care. As we're going to see, this cult is connected. It appears to be an intelligence front of some kind. And so the fact that she ultimately escaped legal punishment should not come as a surprise to someone skilled at or someone practiced at viewing the intelligence community's intersections with legal systems around the world. Continuing, Dr. DeMann said Hamilton Byrne was lucky the children who had endured beatings, druggings, and starvation at the family's Lake Eildon property were too traumatized to testify against their alleged tormentor. One girl looked like she was 7, but was in fact 11. She was suffering from psychosocial dwarfism, Mr. DeMann said. I didn't think at the time, and even today, that many of the kids would be able to sustain giving evidence in the witness box. I think they'd been damaged too much. The detective's decision to go after Hamilton Byrne for falsifying documents came in 1991 when the cult solicitor, Peter Kibbe, decided to cooperate with police. And we're going to go into a description of some of exactly what they wound up doing. But one of the things to note about this group, aside from the fact that obviously they had links to the medical and psychiatric communities, they obviously had a lot of money, they had a lot of institutional connections. Note the fact that there were a lot of professional people who were members of the cult. They also had control of a psychiatric hospital, which in turn was used to do LSD experiments on people. And one of the people who was doing LSD experimentation and apparently also engaging in sexual molestation slash manipulation of the young people to whom he was administering LSD for, quote, therapeutic purposes, was a Roman Catholic, basically one of Australia's leading Catholic intellectuals and a Catholic psychologist named Ronald Conway. And by the way, after the cult went down, Ronald Conway was often being requisitioned to give expert opinion when priests who had been accused of molestation came into the news, and was generally known for dismissing the notion that there was anything to worry about here. And indeed, this may have been a case of the fox being appointed to watch the hen house. As one wag who has blogged about Ronald Conway and his links to the Senecetin Park Association and Anne Hamilton Byrne noted, "What good is an LSD mind control religious cult sexual abuse story without the Catholic Church making a guest appearance?" Indeed. And in a particular story, this from the Clerical Whispers blogspot, of the New Haven Hospital that was under the control of this cult. Conway's autobiography, and this is Dr. Ronald Conway, one of described as one of Australia's most prominent Catholic intellectuals. Conway's autobiography says that he began his LSD experiments at St. Vincent's Hospital, and former patients say that Conway also administered LSD to them at the New Haven Psychiatric Hospital, which was situated at 86 Normanby Road, Kew, in Melbourne's Inner East. In the late 1960s and during the 1970s, New Haven Hospital was owned and managed by Marion Villamek, a member of a New Age sect called the Senecetin Park Association, also known as the Family. A leader of the sect, Anne Hamilton Byrne, was also an administrator at the New Haven. Conway, Eric Seal, and other therapists hired consulting rooms there on a sessional basis and were not involved with the sect per se. New Haven ceased being a hospital in 1992. Ronald Conway became one of Australia's most prominent Catholic intellectuals, writing books and newspaper articles about Australian society. He also appeared in radio and television discussion programs as a psychologist and social commentator. When the church's sexual scandals became news in Australia in the 1990s, Conway sometimes commented on the issues of celibacy and sexual abuse. And by the way, when he had a chance to do his thing, Ronald Conway's, quote, therapeutic ministrations were described as follows. This is someone who came public under the name of Damien, an ex-patient of Conway's. And this is very typical of people who had been, quote, treated, unquote, by Conway. After several sessions with Conway, it was suggested that I undergo LSD therapy in New Haven Private Hospital as an overnight patient. It was explained to me that this therapy was a way to fast-track psychoanalysis and would be very helpful in accepting my sexuality. Conway, as a psychologist, had no qualifications to administer drugs. I did not understand this at the time. During the last session, I came to believe that I had been in the presence of God who authorized me to lead the sexual life which had been chosen for me. Conway then suggested that I continue to see him without the use of LSD. I explained to him that my finances were stretched and that it was not possible. He said that it was important that I continue to see him and that if I were willing, he would see me at his home in Torrington Street, Canterbury, free of charge. What a shock I got when one night he made advances to me and we ended up on the floor of his sitting room. The room was decorated as if it were the inside of an Egyptian tomb. He said that this should not have happened, but that, as it had, we should do it properly in his bedroom. It was a Spartan room with the bed covers on a single bed already turned down and electric bar heaters turned on, resting on tables on either side. And check this out. This was in the 1960s. In the early 1990s, when I was 48 years of age, I was a patient at the Freemasons Hospital and woke up one afternoon to find Ronald Conway sitting on my bed holding my hand. He had heard from someone that I was in the hospital. I made it clear that I was not happy with his presence. He explained to me that he had been following my life through a work colleague of mine, another psychologist. So this poor kid was being tracked. I suspect a bunch of others were as well. And again, this is very interesting. We're going to come back to some of the institutional connections, but more about, and this is the sort of thing, this was one of Australia's most prominent Catholic intellectuals and an individual who was later called upon to weigh in with expert opinion about issues of alleged Roman Catholic clergy abuse, that is, abuse by clergy. Surreal. Reminds me of that old and perhaps tasteless joke. What do Walmart and the Catholic priesthood have in common? Boys' underwear, half off. Worth noting, though, that this guy was holding forth at New Haven Hospital when it was under the control of the cult. And more about this cult and what they were basically doing, we're going to have to continue this on side two. This was a book that was written by Sarah Moore, the woman whose disclosures finally helped to bring down Anne Hamilton Byrne, but who also has reconciled with Anne Hamilton Byrne to a large extent. The book is called Unseen, Unheard, and Unknown, and it reads in part, "My mother was Anne Hamilton Byrne." Actually, you know, I think before going into this, because we're just going to have to pick this up on side two, I want to stress that although it might appear to be perhaps somewhat unfair to be going into this cult at this length and in such detail, and again, given the official ostensible links between Julian Assange and the cult, I strongly suspect that those links between this cult and Mr. Assange are profound, and that may not be in any way to cast aspersions on him personally, because mind control is insidious in that regard, and once you've been got, so to speak, you are got for, if not for good, for a long time, unless you're willing to work very, very hard to get away from it. And with his appearance and with the striking degree of uniformity that the cult members strove for, again, I think it's highly probable that he actually is a member of this particular cult. And as we're going to see in the second side, not only was the cult involved in very obvious mind control procedures, they had a totalitarian philosophy, an elitist philosophy, and also had some links to the Australian minister to whom the Australian Secret Service basically was responsible, the minister in charge of, or the oversight of, the Australian Secret Service. And also, it's worth noting that the server through which many of WikiLeaks, basically the server through which their information is routed, is controlled by a Swedish neo-Nazi, which might very well give a Nazi / Swedish Nazi milieu access to the documents that are being channeled to and or by WikiLeaks. But more about that inside two of this particular program. Please do use the SpitfireList.com website in connection with mind control, mind control cults. That'll get you up to speed. This, however, concludes side one of For the Record program number 724, Wiki of the Damned. This program is being recorded on September 5th of the year 2010. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.